Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Holly.
Yeah, it says, hey guys, I'm a former LSAT Demon student who scored a 180 through use of the live subscription. I applied to law schools in September and October and have already been admitted to University of Michigan and Cornell. Congratulations on all that, by the way, 180.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah, it's exciting.
Michigan and Cornell, fantastic schools. Okay, good start. I'm sure you guys have gotten a lot of questions about this already, but I'm experiencing a lot of anxiety right now due to Yale, Harvard, Berkeley, and Stanford dropping out of the rankings, that is the US News rankings, with more likely to follow. I'm never going to qualify for need-based aid, but I'm also nowhere near wealthy and I have no family support. I played the game as LSAT Demon recommends. I took almost a whole year of very dedicated studying to get my 180. I'm a splitter, so I knew I needed to score high to get scholarships. I wanted to go to law school for free so badly. Debt is something I've known before and my family is familiar with, and I've always wanted to avoid that and actually be financially healthy in my life. I know it's all speculation at this point, but do you think that other T14 schools are going to nix merit-based aid this year or drastically reduce it? If I don't get merit-based aid, I really think I will just choose not to go to law school instead of being saddled with debt my whole life or being forced into a career I don't like just to pay off debt. What's your advice? It sucks to have this happen at this stage in the admissions process. Thanks, Holly. What do you want to say to Holly about this new news that these four schools, I guess, and more to follow are dropping out? They're not going to participate in the US News rankings anymore. Does that mean that Holly's not going to get a scholarship to law school?
I don't think so. I think that the forces are still very much at play to go up the rankings, even if some of these schools decide to drop out. The rankings are still going to exist, right? We were just talking about this a second ago. US News and World Report rankings have come out and said, we're going to continue to rank schools that don't voluntarily provide us with the information that we've been asking for. So when they say, hey, we don't want to participate anymore, all that's happening is that they are not giving information to the US News and World Report rankings, but they can go get that information, or at least the vast majority of it, from other sources, including the ABA 509 reports.
US News, you know, it's not even a magazine anymore, right? It's just all they do is produce these rankings, it seems like.
Yep.
And so it used to be an actual physical magazine and news organization. Now US News and World Report is essentially, we sell rankings.
Yep.
They have a subscription product that they sell. They sell access to fancy reports online. Okay, so that's what they do. If Yale, Harvard, Stanford, Berkeley, whatever other schools want to opt out, US News is still going to want to try to make money by selling law school rankings. They have this big established brand. There is inertia in the world. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden everybody's going to start ignoring these rankings. And it doesn't mean that these schools won't be ranked.
Yeah.
It would be weird, right? If these schools weren't ranked, then all of a sudden the rankings would be useless because these are the top schools in the rankings. But go ahead, Ben.
Well, you have to also recognize where these rankings came from. They came from a general demand for these sorts of things. People are out in the world and they want to go to a law school and they want to know, okay, well, which law school should I go to? We have a lot of problems with these rankings. We think they're stupid and we have rules about them. We say, hey, what is it? The 2X rule, right?
Yeah.
If a school is, unless a school is within, that's not the best way to describe it. But in any case, unless a school is really far away in the rankings, then don't worry about them. That's what we say all the time. At the same time, they exist because people want this sort of thing. They want to know who's better than who. I mean, that's just human nature, right? Competition all the time. And so even if schools walk away from US News and somehow US News crumbles, another ranking system is almost inevitably going to crop up. People want this sort of thing.
Yeah, So why would it affect Holly's actual life? Like what, or her actual admissions case, right? Like, let's think about what's really happening here. These schools are refusing to respond to U.S. News's annual survey. That's what they're doing. They're not responding to the survey. They're not saying, and also you have to remove us from your rankings.
They can't do that.
They could do that. I mean, they could sue say them, that. But they could certainly say it. They could say anything they want. They could send them a dirty note, you know, but they could sue them, I suppose. But sue them for what? For putting you in a list of my favorite things? I mean, I don't see how that's possibly going to happen. So they will continue to be ranked.
They will. And some of these schools may honestly decide not to let those rankings affect their admissions decisions, but the pressures are still there.
Yeah.
And so the vast majority of these schools, especially the ones that aren't at the very, very top, will almost certainly still feel institutional pressure.
Right.
To respect these rankings in some way.
Right.
And under the current system, the way to boost your rankings is to give out scholarships.
Yeah. I mean, so Holly's real focused on the top 14, but I think it's ridiculous to paint with such a broad brush. The schools that are opting out, Harvard and Yale, have always been in the top three or four forever. Yale's number one for what is it now? 19 years in a row or something like that?
Something crazy, yeah.
So Yale already wasn't going to give Holly a merit-based scholarship because they're Yale. And Harvard also wasn't going to give Holly a merit-based scholarship because they're Harvard. And those schools give need-based aid.
That was true before. And that was true for Stanford.
This doesn't change. Yeah. And that's true of Stanford as well. And then Berkeley, I don't know what Berkeley has been doing, but Berkeley is a slightly different case because presumably, can we look? I guess we need to look at the Berkeley 509. I haven't looked at this in a while. So UC Berkeley ranked ninth in the most recent rankings last year, gave 70% of the school is getting some kind of a grant. 41% is getting something less than half tuition. But 27% of the class is getting more than half to full. And then 2% of the class is getting more than full. So you get 29% of the class. I mean, almost a third of the class there that's getting half or more of their tuition paid for. The vast majority of that is coming straight from the school themselves. So they're giving now. Is that need-based aid? And they're just calling it, it's like lumped in with grants and scholarships. I suppose it could be, but I don't think that that's true. I just distinctly remember people getting full ride scholarships to Berkeley because they were awesome candidates. That's been true for years, and that has nothing to do with need. It's just entirely, we want, like, the one that I definitely remember is an applicant had a competing offer to Columbia, and Berkeley had offered her $0, and then Berkeley upped it to a full ride.
Whoa, it's a jump.
Or something like that. No, it was, sorry, they had offered her like $25,000 for the first year, and then they upped it to like $50,000 renewable or something like that. $50,000 for all 3 years, $50,000 times three. So it was just, $100,000 that she, and by the way, this was like a 4.0 180 applicant to Berkeley. And they hadn't made their first offer with money. But then when she told them that money was important, or she showed them this competing offer, then she got the full, the full thing.
Yeah.
Berkeley is a school that I know for sure gives merit-based aid. Where were we?
You were saying don't paint with a broad brush. These schools have said they're not going to participate in the surveys anymore, but does that even mean that they're not going to give scholarships? And what does that mean for all the ones that are still participating? Right. They're clearly playing the game. Yeah.
Let's stay on Berkeley for a second. Did you look up the can you see if they're like really starkly manipulating their median LSAT and their median GPA?
Yeah. So if you if you look at their admits, what is their median? Their median is looks like a 169, and they have tons of people who are getting accepted above 169. And they have a few people who are getting accepted below 169, but not surprisingly, those people have above their 50th percentile in terms of GPA, which looks like around a 3.38 or something like that.
Okay. So here's the thing for Holly. She seems to be assuming that her 180, you know, is now no longer attractive to a school like Berkeley, because they're not participating in the rankings. But just because they're not participating in the rankings doesn't mean that they don't have an interest in raising their prestige in the rankings.
Yeah.
And especially, what about schools that are right at the edge of the top 14? Other schools could opt out, but they don't have to. And what are those schools that don't on it? If they don't opt out, what are they saying?
They're saying they want to keep going ahead with the way things have been going, which includes competing for the rankings.
Yeah, like WashU and St. Louis, I could see them coming with, hey, we've decided to continue. We're good at playing this game and we want to continue playing this game.
Yep.
Although, shit, now that I mentioned WashU and St. Louis, I have to talk about there's news about WashU and St. Louis. If your family income, okay, so WashU Law, full tuition scholarships for low income students. They just sent this out recently. This was sent in by Jet, and also Abby sent this in. They're sending out. So this is from WashU Law admissions, subject full tuition scholarships announced. And this one is full tuition scholarships for low income students. If your family is below 200% of the federal poverty line, you will receive a full tuition scholarship. The financial need of all students will be considered in their scholarship award. Admitted students will discuss their priorities and goals for their customized scholarship award with a member of our team, whatever that means. But the point is, they are sending this out to, I don't know if they're sending it out to everybody or if they're sending it out to people who have, you know, particularly attractive, like they already took the LSAT and they got a good score or what they're doing. But they are out there promoting this new scholarship for low income students. Does that mean that WashU is no longer going to offer merit based aid? I would be shocked if that were the case. Okay. That's the news about WashU.
Yeah.
Is WashU going to continue to try to raise its LSAT median and its GRE median or its GPA median in order to rise in the rankings?
Most certainly.
Unless they opt out. And then I can't believe we buried the lead, or I thought that it was a really interesting point that in order to truly opt out, a school would have to be ignorant of US News methodology.
Otherwise, it will continue to influence how they make decisions.
Well, like, we're human and we have motivations, you know, like our behaviors are driven by various things and some of them are subconscious. But if you know that US News does certain things when they rank law schools and you're a law school, it's just going to be real hard to completely ignore the rankings altogether.
Well, the thing is, you don't even have to know the ranking system. You just have to believe that a certain thing is a factor in the ranking system. Have some notion of that. If you have some notion that LSAT scores or GPA or whatever may be a factor in the ranking system, which is going to be impossible for people to forget, then they will consider those things a little bit more heavily.
Yeah.
Every time they make a decision.
Right. And LSAT and GPA have always been part of that ranking.
Yeah.
So will law schools still be motivated by LSAT and GPA? I certainly think so.
Yeah. Holly, sorry that you're feeling anxious, but I think your best shot here is to apply broadly, which hopefully you've heard us talk about that before. And hopefully you did, because it's already November, but and just see what offers come in. That's the best thing you can do. That's always the best thing you can do.
I emailed her directly too. And I said, furthermore, worst case scenario, if all law schools opt out of the rankings and if all law schools, you know, well, I mean, if the entire top 14, let's say, drops out of these rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they start ignoring LSAT, you know, and, you know, simultaneously stop giving merit-based aid for LSAT, which I can't imagine is going to happen. But even if that did happen, Holly is still the boss of whether she accepts any of these offers. Ideally, absolutely, she would have applied broadly, which would make her immune to shit like this. But even if she didn't apply broadly, she can still just decline all offers and apply again next year, hopefully more broadly, or specifically targeting schools that a year from now have demonstrated that they are interested in continuing to chase LSAT scores with merit-based aid.
Yep, absolutely. It would be hard to imagine that the entire system will stop.
Right, because we simultaneously, and I guess we might as well get into it, we have this other news from the American Bar Association, which I feel like we've had this same headline 10 times, where the ABA announces that they're going to get rid of the requirement that law schools use an admissions test. And everyone thinks that this is going to have crazy dramatic effect on law school admissions. We've had this announcement several times, because first it was the committee that announced that they were investigating it. Then the committee finally endorsed this position. Then that got then it was like, are they going to recommend it to the whole ABA? And what? I don't even know what all the steps are, but finally they did it. And what you said, it's still not potentially done. We have this.
Yeah,
email.
They still have to put it before the House of Delegates. But apparently there's conflicting information here, because apparently the section that's going to present it to the House of Delegates is also the one that has final authority to make the decision. So maybe this decision needs to go through some ratification process, but it's not going to be challenged. I don't know.
Who knows? A bunch of law school deans, like 60 law school deans, publicly opposed the recommendation from the committee.
They did. Yep.
It included David Fagman was one of the signatories on the email. He's the dean of Hastings. We've talked about him many times. We've read his emails and stuff on the Thinking LSAT podcast. And then we just recently talked about Leo Martinez, who's another Hastings guy who apparently is the chair of the ABA committee that is making this recommendation. Anyway, Fagman and 57 other deans said, don't do this because we think it's going to have perverse unintended consequences. It's going to cause people to lean more heavily on GPA, and GPA is even a worse metric as far as being gameable, or as far as being essentially biased toward richer, whiter folk.
Yeah. So people are upset with the LSAT because of its problems with racial differences in scores and so forth, but they're saying, hey, they're going to have to turn to something. And the other things that they're going to turn to, including GPA and school pedigree, are even more susceptible to bias. That's
yeah. It's like, oh, so instead we'll just look at who got a 4.0 from Columbia. Well, yep. Guess what? Like, the people who get 4.0s from Columbia tend to be richer, whiter, just more privileged people.
What I thought was interesting, too, in that letter is that you can always argue, well, look, let the schools do whatever they want. They could look to school pedigree. They could look to GPA, but they can also look to race and make decisions based on that and figure out whatever class they want to compose. Right. But the Supreme Court, right, has a case in front of it right now that might remove schools' ability to consider race as part of admissions. And if that happens, I don't know. What are they? What's going to happen to diversity then?
Hard to imagine that would be good for diversity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the reason why law school is so white is not because of like actual, you know, it's certainly not because of racial prejudice, like intentional prejudice. There's no way that law schools are.
Yeah. You're saying on account of the admissions committees or whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not operating in that way. They want to use race as a criteria because they want to get more diversity in their schools. If you tell them that they cannot consider race anymore, that's not, they're not going to like that because they want more diversity in their schools. So yeah, if that happens, then what do we do to get diversity? I think there's a really credible argument to be made. Obviously, LSAT is correlated with being richer and whiter. You know, like you privileged people tend to do better on the LSAT. That is 100% true. But it also does have a way of letting you find some diamonds in the rough because they're, you know, if a kid coming from a less privileged background, there are kids from less privileged backgrounds that can still come out of nowhere to kill this test. And those students tend to be people who went to some normal school. Maybe they didn't have any resources behind them. They didn't have any counseling. They potentially got poor college grades because they didn't know how to do college. They didn't have, you know, parents who explained to them how to do it and why it's important to get good grades. But they sometimes still do like produce these sparkling LSAT scores. And then the schools have a way of saying, oh shit, okay, like none of your other metrics really make sense here, but your LSAT makes a lot of sense. And then give those people a shot potentially.
I mean, that is why the LSAT was created in the first place, right? Because originally law school applications and admissions were largely limited to the Ivy League and legacy, right?
Yeah.
Did your parents come here and what school did you go to? We'll let you in based on that.
Yeah. And so they said, let's do it. Pipeline yeah. type of discrimination, right? Where it's like, yeah. Well, I mean, did you go to Harvard? And if you did it, by the way, if you went to Harvard, you probably also went to this prep school before you went to Harvard.
Yep.
And so it's just like, you know, that's privilege. And then, yes, Yale Law School. That's a perfect fit for you.
Yeah.
So the LSAT allows law schools to identify some people who might not ever show up on their radar in any other way.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, then they could take it and submit it, even if the school doesn't require it. So maybe yeah. It can still serve its purpose.
Well, so let's get into that whole part of the discussion is law schools have never been required to use the LSAT. Law schools have been required to use an admission test. It historically has been the LSAT, but recently many schools allow the GRE. And so what we're talking about here is not just, it's not like ABA cancels the LSAT. It's ABA stops requiring law schools to use an admissions test.
Well, one thing I actually want to clarify there, I think that law schools might have been required to use the LSAT because no other test was approved by the ABA.
You're required to use a test and we approved the LSAT. And
then recently we approved the GRE.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Law schools were never required to heavily weight the LSAT in their admissions decisions.
True.
The fact that some law schools weight the LSAT five times as heavily as they weight undergraduate GPA in their admissions decision, that's fully their choice. The ABA has said you must use an approved test as part of your admissions, but it didn't say, and it has to be the most important part of your admissions. It just said that you have to use this test.
No, and that is almost certainly a function of the rankings. It could also be a function of the fact that the LSAT is a good predictor of 1L grades. So these two things come together and you can't exactly parse out why a school is doing what it's doing. But when a test, the LSAT, helps you achieve two goals, improve your rankings and increase the likelihood of choosing successful students, it's not surprising that you're going to put a lot of weight on it.
Yeah. And This current new ruling doesn't say law schools are now not allowed to use the LSAT. It, It's just saying you're no longer required to use the LSAT. So don't confuse sufficient for necessary on that issue. Those are two very different things. We are no longer requiring you to use it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're required not to use it.
Yeah. I think the concern, so law schools certainly could continue using it and require it when you apply. That would be totally up to them. It's just that the ABA is not requiring them to require you to submit it. But I think the reason these 60 deans were concerned is that, well, one of the reasons that stuck out to me was, hey, if we remove this requirement, some schools are going to not require it, of course, right? Some schools are going to say, hey, okay, we're done. We're not going to require the LSAT. And then that, as we talked about earlier, that's going to push the admissions committees to look to other things such as GPA. And does that end up hurting diversity? But I think another thing here, and they did say this, and that is that the LSAT keeps people out of the profession who shouldn't be going into it. And if you believe that, maybe you believe the opposite. You're like, no, the LSAT's keeping me out and I really want to be in. And it's not fair. Well, maybe that's true, but maybe it's also the best thing that ever happened to you. Because if the LSAT is a good predictor of first year grades, and first year grades are a good predictor of your success in the profession, which isn't, they're not perfectly correlated by any means, but if they are, then the LSAT is preventing people from going down a debt-ridden path into a career that they shouldn't be going into. Not always. There are exceptions, of course. There are people who suck the LSAT and probably kill it as attorneys. But that's not the issue. It's how many, right? And already, schools can admit people without an LSAT score. There are exceptions that are already in there. 10% of your applicants can apply without an LSAT score under the ABA rules. And so this letter from the deans was saying, hey, let's just expand that percentage and see what happens, as opposed to going from 10% to 100%.
The deans have said, we want to be required to use this test. At least those 58 deans on that email.
Yeah, or letter, yeah.
That letter. These 58 deans have said, we think it's bad if you guys stop requiring us to use the LSAT. Well, okay, so now if all of a sudden they're no longer required to use the LSAT, does that mean they're going to immediately stop using the LSAT?
No, they probably want to continue using it. They're just worried about what that's going to do, right? Some things don't work unless everybody comes on board.
Well, let's think it through, though. You know, like, what, because people are asking us to prognosticate. Okay, first of all, nothing there is happening, by the way, until 2025.
That's the most important thing. Yeah.
So the ABA, this recommendation is slated to take effect in 2025. We're not sure if that's the class that starts law school in 2025 or if that's the admission cycle that starts in 2025, which would then be the class that starts in 2026. So it might not have, like, literally all of y'all who are probably like current law school applicants, or like you're trying to go to law school now ish. This isn't going to affect any of you unless you're down the road to 2025 with the ABA. It's kind of hard to talk about this because it's like all these interrelated issues.
Yeah.
What happened in the SAT, Ben, first of all, was the SAT required for undergraduate admissions?
I don't know if it was required.
Not by any like governing body, right?
All I know is that, yeah, some schools, especially with the pandemic, just started going test optional.
Well, and for political reasons as well, you know, in California, it's just like the people got on the warpath of these tests are discriminatory. So the University of California needs to become test optional. That doesn't mean, though, that, again, it's just because it's optional doesn't mean that you don't take the test.
Yeah.
And what did we learn there? What happened? You were quoting stats at me earlier.
Yeah. About if you're a test optional school, about half of your applicants are not going to submit a SAT score, which isn't surprising. Apparently, of those half that don't submit a score, 60% of that half, or 30% of the total, have a score. They just chose not to submit it. So they're clearly scoring below, right? It's not like they didn't take it. They took it, but then said, oops, I'm not good enough. And then applications ended up rising, especially at the more selective schools, which again, isn't surprising because if you had a low SAT, you're not going to apply because you can't get in, but now you don't have to submit it. So you can feel a little more confident. It could be a delusional confidence though, right? You just think, oh, now I can apply because I don't have to submit my SAT, but who knows how that looks on the other side.
I'm not saying it's 1,000% delusional, but it obviously would still behoove you to get and apply with a good SAT.
Yeah. When you don't apply with an SAT, you're basically saying, yeah, I couldn't cut it. I couldn't get above your median.
Or I was too lazy to take it, or I come from some, you know, I don't want to be insensitive about it, but came from some underprivileged background where it was not feasible for me to take the test. You know, I didn't have the time or resources to prepare adequately for the test or whatever. That's what you're saying to the schools. But, you know, even if they're not discriminating against you because you don't have a score, they might be discriminating against you because other people do have scores. And it's easier for the schools to assess the quality of those students.
Yeah. And it sounds like some schools are still deciding whether or not to go back to tests required.
Well, originally, so when they got rid of the test,
it wasn't a clear win, right? Like, that's the mere fact that they're like, wait a sec, we'll tell you next year whether or not we're still test optional, means that there's problems.
It's always shifting. It's always changing.
Yeah.
That's life. So the best that we know now is, I mean, law schools are still currently required to use an admissions test.
Yep. For the next 3 years.
It's not for the graduating class. It's for the entering class.
As far as I understand, yeah, we can check it out again. I'm pretty sure it's for the entering class 2025.
Okay. So they are currently still required to use a test. They have shown that they are enthusiastic about using the test in the past.
Yep.
U.S. News rankings still exist. Even if a school opts out of the U.S. News rankings, they're still going to be ranked by U.S. News. U.S. News is probably still going to use LSAT and GPA as one of their criteria for ranking schools. It'd be kind of hard to see why would they step away from that. Even if Harvard, Stanford, Yale don't care at all about the rankings and might never have cared about the rankings, the schools on the margins certainly do care about the rankings. U.S. News makes the methodology public, and it's not like ever shocking. You know, they tweak the formula, but they don't like totally reinvent the formula. So law schools are going to know how U.S. News ranks schools anyway. And I think Holly still looks like a badass applicant because of her badass 180 LSAT.
Yeah.
Anything more about all of this stuff? This is like, we're everybody coming out of the woodwork everywhere to ask us questions about this. That's, I think, all we know.
All we know.
You can stay tuned. We will continue to report new news. I hope you will share your thoughts and questions to daily at lsatdemon.com. You can also leave questions in the YouTube chat if you want, or YouTube comments there. We monitor that and we can pick out your questions if you respond on YouTube. Thanks everybody for sending all of your questions. Thanks, Holly. Hopefully that was some reassurance. I hope you'll follow up with us. Let us know how your cycle actually does turn out in the end. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.